Hi, everyone. You're listening to In the Open, a podcast by Mental Health America, where we talk all things mental health related.
Hi, everybody. We're back for another session for In the Open. And I'm so excited today because we're having our first guest of our 2021 season, which is pretty amazing. And I want to make sure that I give them a chance to introduce themselves. It's just me today. Teresa is not with us. She'll be back again next week. But guest, please introduce yourself. Tell everybody about yourself.
Hi, guys. My name is Ben Ballman. I'm a senior in high school and also a member on the Youth Mental Health Leaders Council at Mental Health America. I guess you could call me a mental health advocate. It's kind of weird for me to say that out loud just because I've never really thought of myself that way. It seems so official to me. But I've done a fair bit to support students' mental health in Maryland, in my area, through the mental health resources that they receive, as well as their education in mental health. Through research of efficacy of those resources through a mental health coalition that I started and through peer support groups.
Well, I would say that's a mental health advocate in so completely. It's awesome that you're here with us, Ben.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Of course. So today we're going to focus our conversation around the idea of kind of identifying if we are in toxic relationships. I would imagine that if we actually looked at a definition of toxic relationships, I've had a fair number of them. So I wonder, Ben, do you have experience in that space?
A little bit, yeah. So the reason that I guess I got into mental health in the first place was because of the relationships I was having. You know, all the way back in eighth grade, even, and when we were 12 or 13 years old, I was seeing, you know, poor mental health and even mental illness in people around me, and I wanted to support them. And That largely happens through relationships. So, you know, relationships are really important to me. But when you're talking about relationships in context to mental illness, a lot of relationships can become toxic. And it's really important to, you know your limits and prioritize yourself. Do you have like a definition for yourself for what a toxic relationship is? I think it's always such a personal thing.
Well, I think a lot of the toxicity that exists in relationship results in my inability to feel like a whole person in that relationship, right? So if maybe I feel diminished in some way, or I'm really unable to be me as a whole person coming to the table. And when you look at the actual work that's been done around toxic relationships, it ties in with all of that. But I also think about what you said, and some of our listeners who may be like, well, how do you really identify, right, what a toxic relationship is? And what you're saying, it is very self-defined. But at the core, there are very common kind of experiences that can unite us. So when you think about this one relationship, I think that sticks out in your mind, what about it made you feel like it was toxic?
So I do have a little anecdote to talk about. But right before that, I think the way that I kind of like see toxic relationships as is like a long-term detriment to your well-being, be that, you know, emotional, psychological, and even physical. And so, you know, of course, in some relationships, you're going to have to sacrifice a little bit to be there for your friend. That's one thing. But I think another thing is when it's continual long-term detriment to your well-being. And being in the kind of peer support area that I'm in, where I'm trying to be there for my friends as much as possible, and I'm kind of in the thicket of the student mental health crisis and the youth mental health crisis, a lot of these relationships where you're in a position where you're trying to support people, it really can turn toxic pretty quickly, where these students become dependent and it becomes very detrimental to your well-being. So, you know, the first thing, like what you're talking about that shoots to mind is this one relationship I had junior year. It was with this person who went to a different school and I met her through a program. So I didn't really know any of her friends very well. I wasn't close to her school, so I'm kind of removed from her situation a little bit. And, you know, as I get closer with her, I start to realize that she doesn't really have very many outlets. She doesn't have too many friends at her school, that her home life isn't very great, so she can't go to her parents. Over time, more and more we get closer, and I start to realize that she has some mental health issues. She's dealing with depression. She's dealing with self-harm and suicidal ideation. You know, of course I want to be there for her. You care about these people and you want to be there for them as much as possible. So you offer your support. And I was there for her. I saw that she probably needed some professional help. So I tried to help her find that, because her parents and the staff at her school weren't really seeing that in her and seeing that she had a need for that. And, you know, it progressed more and more until I started to see that I was getting pretty dependent, and that, you know, since she had so few outlets, she really relied on me, I think, for, you know, validation of the issues that she was facing and the struggles that she was going through, because nobody else was really acknowledging that in her, and more so just kind of brushing over and not really seeing the struggles that she was going through. And, you know, that kind of went on more and more until the point where it started to get in the way of, you know, other activities. I was spending so much time worrying about her well-being and, like, texting her and checking up on her and calling her and talking to her so often that it was starting to get in the way of, you know, my schoolwork and my other relationships. It was starting to take away time from those. And so I'm starting to see that it's getting a little bit more detrimental in that respect, where I'm sacrificing a lot of the time that I would spend in academics or in my other social relationships. You know, that this all kind of culminated to a point in which, you know, there was one night where I had all these assignments, I had all this work piling up. My girlfriend at the time was getting pretty mad at me because I had all this work and I wasn't really spending enough time with her. And then my phone rings, because this person that I'm talking about, she would call me several times a day, and my phone rings and something just snaps in me. You know, I feel like I'm juggling so many different things, and something just snaps when I see that phone ring. I'm not even sure if it was a panic attack, but if it wasn't, that's probably the closest I've ever been. And I'm just on the floor, like, sobbing completely, thinking the world is crashing in on me, because I'm like trying to juggle all these things and I just let it all fall down. And I think that's when I really realized that it's a toxic relationship. Because when you're so close, it's so hard to see that it's toxic. You know, you care so much about this person. You want to do everything you can. And it's so hard to realize that you do have to prioritize yourself in these relationships.
Yeah, Ben, that is a lot. There are, like, so many things that I can think about that resonate with what you're saying, because part of that conversation is this idea of codependency. There is a need, and with this particular individual in your life, there was a need that she found that you filled, right? Being somebody that she could talk to, somebody that was there to really support her, and partly because she may not have had those supports elsewhere, right? So in some way, there's a reliance on you, and so much is put on you, right? Literally, like, on your plate to be like, take care of these things. And it's not a bad thing when somebody does that, right? When somebody's asking for help. But the aspect of that is the intensity and how quickly it evolves into this place of complete reliance. And then it becomes overbearing, right? And that moment when you're describing, oh my God, they're calling again. You just don't know. And you have so many other things that you're just trying to juggle. And you're right. It comes down to this idea, like, what am I doing to myself? And you're pulled in so many directions. I feel like I have like thinking putty, you know, that you can stretch, you know, and that's what it's just like. It's just stretching and stretching to a place that it's going to break. Yeah. And part of that is this idea of the toxicity that may exist. There is also, in what you shared, and correct me if I'm wrong, like, there's this, like, overwhelming kind of responsibility that you felt towards helping.
Yeah, you know, I feel like one of the main aspects that I want to talk about when we're talking about toxic relationships is the kind of guilt and the responsibility that's involved. You know, you care so much about these people, and I feel like I always have this 90s, 2000-esque cartoon in my head where it's like all these friends are together and, like, oh, how do you be a good person? You're there for your friends. But I don't think it's that simple, you know. You always do want to be there for your friends, but I mean, when you're that molding putty and you're being pulled to the very brink of breaking, you do have to prioritize yourself to an extent. And that's so hard to do because you do feel this kind of responsibility for them, even if it's really not your responsibility.
Yeah. And that really does weigh heavy, I think, on any individual. And I've been in those types of relationships where, you know, I've been the person that people kind of rely on. But there is also a line, I think, that you kind of cross over when you're, like, in a codependent relationship. especially where you are, you know, in terms of your current frame, but you're still in high school, you know. I'm not in high school anymore. I've been out of high school for a very long time. But, you know, when I think back about the intensity of the emotions that we had at that time, and then moving forward into your 20s, they really, these types of relationships come to form the foundation of the future relationships that you engage in, and how you then incorporate, like, maybe boundaries that you've set for yourself now into future relationships. And at times they're both good and bad, right? Because we don't know the impact of these things until much later. And, you know, being what I think I'm 41, you know, and having been through various relationships, there is a process that happens with each one of them that you then come to ask yourself, dude, what am I doing? Like, is this good for me? You know, you get to that place. So tell me what you did after you had this, you know, what you call maybe a panic attack. What happened after that?
Yeah, I just want to say it's kind of funny how we're talking from two, like, completely different ends of the spectrum and perspective. Like, you're looking back on me and I'm kind of looking forward. It's pretty funny to me. But yeah, you know, once you've kind of find yourself in a toxic relationship, what I did in that situation was I was like, okay, a change needs to be made. I don't know what that change is, whether that be ended or just kind of redefine the terms of a relationship and set up those boundaries that you talked about, because setting boundaries is really important. And that's definitely not something that I did at all. So, you know, I talked to her, I went to her, I said, I was pretty frank with her. I said, look, this is what's happening. This is how I feel, you know, in that relationship somewhere along the line, it kind of stopped being a two-way street and more of a one-way street, where she was telling me how she felt. And I didn't really tell her my end of the spectrum. So I was really honest with how I felt. I said, you know, I feel like I have all these obligations, and, you know, trying to be there for you is really hard for me lately. And, you know, in this specific case, it blew up a little bit, and that definitely hurt me a lot, where instead of being able to set those boundaries and in a kind of mature and, I guess, grown up way, it kind of blew up, and it ended up ending the relationship altogether. She responded in a really escalatory manner that really brought things, the conflict up, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. And that's really upsetting, because, you know, you do care about this person so much, and then you try and tell them how you feel, and the first thing that you get back is, oh, you know, you don't care about me, you know, you're not going to be there for me, and X this and X that. And that's pretty negative, and that can happen sometimes. And this isn't the only case in which that's happened. But, I mean, there's other cases when you're in these relationships, and you can set those boundaries, and that's really important when it's getting to the point when it's toxic. And you can move to a more healthy relationship instead of just ending it outright.
You know, I don't mean to laugh at what you shared, but I can hear, like, Teresa in my mind, and based on our conversations, that oftentimes when you're confronted in this way that somebody's saying, you know, hey, I'm not necessarily, like, feeling good about where we are, whatever the words are, right, that somebody's sharing about what they feel, and in some way you may feel attacked, because that's what generally will happen, Then I function from a place that I'm going to blow it up, like, forget it, I'm never talking to you again, there's no point, right? But there is a middle ground, and what you're speaking of is that middle ground that you have to figure out, is there, and I think this is both on both sides, right, like, is it worth having a relationship? Like, really, what is it that brought us together? Should we continue to be connected in any way? And really making a healthy decision. And I think part of that process is coming to terms with both your role in that relationship and then the other person's role. Because I know from my experience, a lot of the struggle that comes out of these types of relationships is an inability to see how closely connected you are to this person. And that's when you're, like, in it, in the thick of it, you don't see it at all. But other people are like, hey, you shouldn't let them talk to you this way. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't let them do this. You know, and you're like, I'm just being a really good friend, you know? And it requires a lot of, like, reframing and rethinking about what's happening. But I'm sorry that this relationship kind of blew up.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely the case when, especially in relationships like this, there's so much emotion involved. It's hard to not take it as a threat. It's hard to not take it personally. And it's going to blow up like that when there's so much emotion involved. That's like what you were talking about with being so close to it. There's so much emotion. You care so much about that person that it's so hard to see it in like an objective kind of way.
It is funny, Ben, because we are coming at it from really two different world experiences, but I think it's so useful because I remember having these types of emotions when I was growing up, and like people would be like, you don't know anything, you know, like you're just a kid. Whatever you're feeling isn't as important, you know, as you're making it. And like today, when I look back, dude, my feelings were so valid. And I think that's a place where we really do start forming these foundations of who we are going to be. And if our emotions are negated at that space and at that time, then we just kind of learn, well, there's no point in me sharing my emotions, right? Because nobody's going to take me seriously. So talk a little bit about that. Does that happen to you now? When this happened, did you have people that were around you that were supportive, like your girlfriend or your parents or other people?
Yeah, I mean, of course, we always learn from our experiences. So if we have a really negative experience, we're probably going to generalize that a little bit. And it's really hard. You know, that made me really scared, genuinely, in like the future to tell people how I really felt, like that cold, hard truth that, I mean, you do need to tell a lot of the time, but it really made me hesitate. And that I feel like that's a few steps back. Like I'm trying to be conscious of that a little bit more and be a little bit more honest with how I feel. But it has been kind of hard not to sugarcoat things a little bit more, not to kind of just brush things off that maybe I should be addressing just because of the reaction that I got that other time that I did.
When you think about that experience and what you've lived through now and some of the hesitation that exists in you kind of sharing your opinion, have you found that you're more restrained in kind of going out and being like, yeah, I can totally help. This is the place where I'm the best at helping people.
Honestly, no. And it's weird. It's almost like the 1984 kind of like double think where like on one side of it, I'm kind of nervous to tell people how I feel. And I know how these relationships can lead or what these relationships can lead to. But on the other side, I'm like, yeah, like let's get into it. It doesn't matter. I'm not scared about that. It's so odd. You know, I wouldn't say I've kind of doubled down on it, but definitely haven't decreased at all. It's weird. Like I haven't really thought about that now that you're bringing it up, but I don't think that's really affected me trying to support people around me and be in these relationships. Maybe it has made me be a little bit more effective, I guess, at setting up boundaries and kind of keeping a distance a little bit more so, but definitely been less stern about it in the sense where like I am scared to like set hard boundaries and tell them how I feel.
I think too, based on some of the things that you've mentioned, there are, I think, also levels, right, to how intense the relationships can be and the level of toxicity, you know? Because one, you may start out at this place of kind of codependency where the person really comes to really lean on you for certain things. And then there's also the spectrum of the type of relationship that you have, right? Where at one point it may be just, you know, you guys are friends. And then there's another aspect when you become intimate. And then that's a whole different ballgame, you know, when you become intimate and you have these much more closer relationships, or you have bonds that are tied because of family and things like that. And you're trying to navigate all these spaces and you don't necessarily know, like, the things that I'm feeling, are these actual things related to a toxic relationship? How do you identify that? So when you think of that, when you think of the word toxic relationships, what are some of like the key kind of, not symptoms, but behaviors that people may engage in that identify them as toxic?
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. I feel like I've been focusing a little bit more on like the kind of codependent aspect of it. But there's so many different kinds of relationships. You know, you mentioned this earlier. It's such a personal thing that it means so many different things to so many different people. There's so many varying levels of it. You know, the relationship that I had with the person I was talking about earlier was just a friendship. But I mean, if you up that to an intimate level with a significant other, you know, the emotions are so much more intense. If it's toxic and if it's negative, it's going to affect you so much more to that extent. But I mean, when you're really thinking about things in a toxic relationship, I guess the key signs that really shoots my mind first are stuff like gaslighting, you know, kind of not really acknowledging and appreciating the feelings of the other partner in that relationship. I think that's pretty common. Prioritization of oneself over the partner is pretty common.
You know, one of the things that I was thinking about in terms of friendships, you see this more in female relationships, at least in my experience. So you can correct me if I'm wrong, Ben, where it's like, oh, this is my friend, right? And that idea of like being mine. And only me and this person have this super tight connection. And then if there's a third individual that comes into the picture, it's like, no, no, no. Don't get it twisted. Like, this is my person. You can't really talk to them. You can't hang out with them. And so, again, it goes back to this idea of the depth, right? Of how this is going to impact the relationship. I don't know. Do guys go through that?
That kind of like sense of almost possession over another person.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, not so much with my relationships with guys, but with my relationships with girls, even like in a romantic or a friendship kind of way. Like, I think one of the aspects of the relationship that I talked about earlier was that she did want my attention all the time. And she felt pretty jealous when I was talking to anybody else, be that other girls or other guys. Mm-hmm. And that contributed a lot to the toxicity of that relationship, where she saw me as hers because she didn't have a lot of support from other people.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's definitely a very good point.
Another thing that I also think about is this idea of like what you were talking a little bit about gaslighting, but when I think about worth, you know, that's where my mind goes and where I started with that is this idea that whatever you say or the other person says has more value, whatever they want has more value. And then over time you diminish your presence in that relationship, right? And you become really... I've talked to Therese about this, where you become like that little tiny doll in the Russian, you know, like nested doll set, yeah. And you're just tiny and the other person has completely taken over. And anything we do is what they want to do. Anything, you know, that we talk about is what they want to talk about. And never is a question about how I feel, how whatever my thoughts are about X thing, you know. I think partly because we as just people don't recognize when we may necessarily be hurting ourselves in these relationships, it's hard to then define that line and be like, oh, okay, well, this is it. This is not working.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like you're in these relationships and you start to kind of diminish how it, like you feel. You start to say, hey, I mean, as long as they're happy, I'm happy, even if, you know, you're really not inside. And I've definitely experienced that since the relationships I've talked about, you know, I'd rather push my feelings down a little bit and not have to deal with it as long as the other person's happy. And that's really bad. You know, that's not a good thing by any means. You shouldn't, again, I try to like hit home this idea that you're not a bad person for prioritizing your own mental health over theirs, but it's so contradictory to my morals and like being a good person. It's so odd. Putting their feelings ahead of yours by no means is going to create an effective relationship over time, because more and more, you're just going to have to suppress more and more. And eventually you're going to hit a breaking point like I did.
Yeah. I think part of the process that you go through when you've been in this type of relationship is that you don't really know what's wrong until you kind of things hit the fan. In other relationships that you've had, have you had similar experiences?
Not exactly the same, but similar in the idea where you do want to be in this kind of support position where you're helping these people out who need help. You know, somebody has gone to you confused, you know, I don't know what I have. I don't know if it's a mental illness or I'm just struggling, but, you know, I'm really stressed out. I have anxiety. I'm hopeless. I'm sad all the time, et cetera, et cetera. And you want to be there for them and you help them get professional help if they need that, but you're also there for them in that support role. And again, that support role, it can become toxic really quickly because of that dependency. And so setting up those boundaries, as I talked about a little bit, has been kind of hard for me. So I have been in that similar position where I do try, once it gets to a point and I'm realizing, you know, I'm sacrificing a lot. I'm not in a good place. I'm ignoring how I feel. It's probably time that I redefine the relationship. And I try that. And of course, it can be in a similar situation where it blows up like it did before. And that has happened a little bit. But, you know, in other cases, it's a better situation where they understand where you're coming from a little bit. You can redefine the relationship a little bit. Or maybe, like you were talking about, you kind of peacefully end it once you realize that, you know, maybe it's not healthy at all to even talk to each other anymore. I'm trying to generalize it a little bit, but it's so hard since it's such a personal thing and it's so particular to each situation.
Yeah, and I tend to agree with that. You know, you do have to go through these ideas of kind of recognizing where it is that your responsibility exists in the relationship, especially because I think about it as well in kind of different ways where, let's say, outside of a friendship, you know, that you have, or a relationship with a significant other in a kind of intimate relationship, you may have toxic relationships with like your parents or your siblings, you know, and as you grow older, right now, when you know, you can make the decision, well, I'd rather not have these people in my life, right? It's a little bit harder on your part because you probably are dependent on your parents, right? Whereas when you get a little bit older and you're just like, I know when I turn 20, I am leaving this place because I cannot live like this anymore, right? And there is an ability to then make a choice around what works for you. And I also have to recognize that not everybody's in that place because you may not be able to do that. And part of that requires that you then really find ways to protect yourself so that you are not victimized in this relationship and you're not continuously hurt, because that's a huge part of what toxic relationships are, right? You're continuously like bombarded with crap. And if you don't have a way to protect you from all of that, then you really do diminish yourself as an individual, which can then turn into depression, anxiety, you know, because you start questioning like, is it me? Did I do something?
Yeah.
Wait, but how can it be like everybody else, you know, would do this? And it's that gaslighting and this inability to really see like through the fog to the other side and be like, man, this is not good.
Yeah, that's honestly such a good point. There's a sense of fear where you can't see the other side, you know. I'd say especially in like familial relationships or significant other relationships, you don't want to lose that person. You care so much about them. They're so important to you. You almost rely on them in a sense for emotional support as well. And you're so scared what will happen. And when you're in a situation like that, you're right. You do have to find a way either to, you know, mitigate the kind of bombardment that you're getting on, or find a way to, you know, weigh what's going on here. You know, is it really that bad? Am I really feeling this badly? And if so, then you should do your best to try and find a way to kind of restructure the dynamic of the relationship or exit it. But it is complicated in a sense where not everybody's able to do that, especially with family relationships.
Oh,
there's
God,
so much
yeah.
like fear in the other side through the fog.
I think the complicated nature of relationships as a whole is just, that could be a whole separate, you know, topic.
Yeah.
But when we think about our ability to kind of navigate this space, we've talked about boundaries, right? And I think boundaries are so important in helping you keep a safe space for your heart, your mind, and your like overall well-being, right? And in this particular situation that you spoke about, right, and the person kind of blew it up, I also think about this idea that there probably is so much behind this aspect of like literally blowing up, because they don't have the capacity to be able to process what you're saying and interpret it in a way that is not an attack, but focused on their well-being and your well-being, right? So when you think about the boundaries and the boundaries that you set with this one individual and the boundaries that you've learned to define, what are some of those that you set? Is it like, I don't know, do you turn off your phone at night? What do you do to help you?
You know, like sometimes, especially when I was in that relationship I was talking about before, I was so scared to turn off the phone because from me, being so close to it, it seemed like a life or death situation with her
mm-hmm.
because of the suicidal ideation that she was talking about and with the self-harm. So I didn't want to do things like that because I was like, what if what if she calls me and I'm not there? And does that make me responsible? I did this to her. It's my fault. That idea scared me so much that I didn't want to do stuff like that. But that's a really great way. I feel like I prefaced this in just a horrible way, but setting times to say, hey, you know, I need to do my work from this time to this time. Call me if there's an actual emergency, but if not, I'm going to leave my phone off. I'm going to focus on this, you know, setting aside certain times and saying, hey, you know, I care about you. You mean a lot to me, but you cannot be calling me all the time. You cannot be texting me every second of the day. That's not okay. You know, I need to dedicate time to other things, you know, even if I'm not having a set block of time dedicated to schoolwork, you know, maybe I want time just to myself and everything like that. It's very hard for me to, again, like generalize boundaries that I set up because it's so specific to each situation. But, you know, ways that I try to do it is just have a blatant conversation about, you know, what is going on in the relationship and talk about ways that can change it for that specific relationship.
So part of what you're saying is, one, being open, right, to openly sharing what you're feeling without hesitation, right? You can be scared about how the conversation will go, but I think you have to be willing to share your thoughts with this person.
Yeah.
To see if they can understand and engage in trying to repair the relationship to be more positive.
Yeah, and a really important part of that is also how a lot of the time, these people also care about you. You know, they're not trying to hurt you on purpose. So if they're not taking it as an attack on them, they're saying, hey, I didn't realize this is how you're feeling. Of course, I don't want to be hurting you in any way. Of course, we can try and reestablish the dynamic of the relationship in different ways. Because, I mean, why would your friend try and intentionally hurt you?
Yeah. You know, too, what you said about feeling the responsibility. In the work that I've done and working with youth and you know, just kind of working in the community, one of the things that really comes up a lot is this feeling where you are the go-to person that can provide support. You've always been that person. You're always going to answer your phone. And there is this responsibility that you then turn on yourself because you're like, oh my God, what if something happens? And oftentimes there's this hesitation to really create a firm boundary because you will ultimately feel guilt if something happens. You'll question whatever role you had in whatever may happen. And it's so hard to separate those two kind of aspects of us as individuals. But, you know, at the end of the day, what you're saying around creating this opportunity for conversation is so fundamental in helping frame how future relationships should go. And I say that because I feel like I'm talking to myself at 20, right? Where you're just like, dude, you can't do that. You can't do these types of things when you're 40. And hopefully you won't be, right? You will then figure out more and more that there are ways to have conversations. Some conversations may blow up and completely go to ruin, while others, what you're saying is, you know, they may be very open to hearing this out because nobody's ever said, hey, you're like, it's too much.
Yeah.
We gotta relax a little bit. I was also going to say that you've created these boundaries. You have a conversation, right? What happens and what has happened in your experience for you to recognize that you're getting better at actually creating these boundaries? Is that evident to you?
I guess it's more so evident to me when I'm not like feeling like I'm juggling the entire world, like I'm Atlas with the entire sky on my shoulders. And I guess that kind of relates pretty directly to the stress that I feel and the anxiety that I feel as a result of these relationships. Because, you know, when you're in relationships like that, you are taking on a burden. I'm not denying that. But when you're taking on the full like blow of it, it's more than a lot of people can handle. So it's really important to set those boundaries and balance. And as you know, I've learned from my mistakes and gotten a little bit better at that. It's been easier to mitigate that a little bit more. And so I'm not, you know, on the ground crying anymore about it, which is the big one. But, you know, even beyond that, it's just you understand a little bit better how these conversations go and like how to initiate them a little bit better and how to be effective with them, and that you're not just you're not making it sound like you are attacking these people, because you know the way you phrase things is very important, and you know, kind of directing the course of the conversation and stuff like that.
Those are such good nuggets of information, because I then too also think about the fact that when you get like a negative response from folks, that can be really damaging to yourself, because you're just like, God, like what? How could I have said this differently? Could I have said it differently? Should I have used these other words that were really going to, you know, the person was going to hear in a totally like modified way? And we have to be able to recognize that not everybody is going to be able to have that type of relationship. And for me, one of the things that I think is critical is being able to then define, I've done this work to try to make this manageable. I've tried to repair the relationship, but I've come to a point where I just can't. I can't do this anymore. And part of that is this conversation about like breaking up. Most often breaking up is with the like an intimate, you know, relationship, a boyfriend, girlfriend or whatever. But you break up with people all the time.
Yeah.
You know, you break up with your doctors, your therapist, your freaking mechanic. There's this whole connection to this is it. I can't do it anymore. So what is like your line that you've set where you said this is not doable anymore?
Gosh, I don't know if I have like a specific like script to read off, but you know, when you see the relationship as something that isn't salvageable in a sense where, you know, it's completely one-sided, you know, it has all the toxic traits, the core relationship and the core feeling isn't even there anymore, so that to the point in which if you were even to try to repair it, there wouldn't be really anything to repair. And I just try to be pretty honest with that. You know, I try to take that and explain how I feel and explain that I don't think that we can continue in a healthy way, in a beneficial way that continues the relationship in a way that makes us both happy and makes us both fulfilled. Because when a relationship has gotten to that point, I mean, there's really not much you can do. I am trying to hit home just being honest about how you feel. I think that's so important in these conversations, especially surrounding relationships.
It is really hard to put yourself in that position. And I hear Teresa in my head say, like, I could not do that, because she's even talked about how, like, when she's had to break up with a therapist or something, she'll like completely ghost them, you know, she just can't, because she doesn't handle conflict well. And part of that is also, you know, you recognizing as an individual what your limits are, and it's okay. Sometimes you're not going to be able to have this, you know, full on, I call it like movie-like experiences. Like, we're going to sit down and have a conversation, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes it can't happen that way. And it's okay. It's okay to accept that. But knowing that you've done your best, I think, is a huge portion of you walking away thinking, okay, I'm going to learn from this and hopefully not do this again.
Yeah. You know, like, I feel like I've kind of breezed over the aspect of these conversations that they're really hard to have. You know, vulnerability creates connection, but vulnerability is scary, you know?
Yeah.
Putting yourself out there like that, it's not easy. And 9 times out of 10, the reason why I'm saying I don't have a specific line is because these conversations, they can be messy. It's not just one thing you can say, and it's, you know, it's like Leonardo DiCaprio reading off a line. They're messy and they can be gritty and they're not easy. But, you know, looking past that to what will hopefully be on the other side, and, you know, knowing that you've done your best to either save the relationship or end on good terms, I think that's really important, especially when you're thinking about the guilt aspect and the responsibility aspect, where you do want to handle it as best as you can.
You know, there's an organization, I don't know if you're familiar with them. They're the One Love Foundation, and they've done a lot of work around kind of relationships, and they actually have a whole kind of checklist around 10 signs of healthy and unhealthy relationships. So if people want to like check them out, it's onelove.org. And part of that, you know, I think in many situations, right now, in terms of your age group and then moving forward, it really is not something that dramatically changes from now until you're like 40 or 50. Not at all, dude. Like, relationships are relationships at any age. And you have to keep learning and how to manage these relationships. You know, there's, I think, different depths of the relationships that you have and everything. But at the core, it is about being vulnerable with somebody, which is super scary. It is like the worst thing, but the most amazing thing at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, Ben, do you have any kind of last thoughts around what people can do if they're kind of struggling in this space?
I can't say this enough. You know, you're not a bad person for prioritizing your own well-being over somebody else's. I could not get that idea through my head. I swear, like, that is, I think, the biggest takeaway out of anything surrounding, like, conversations about relationships and toxic relationships and everything like that. You know, just understanding that your feelings are valid and that they matter and that freezing over them and ignoring them is only going to make things worse in the long term. That's just something that I'm trying to acknowledge, that it's so hard to like completely realize and ingrain, but it's so important too.
No, that's amazing. I would say, you know, the only thing to add is to, you know, allow for yourself to grow. Relationships are relationships, whatever age they are, but you mature, you get better able at identifying what works and what doesn't work for you. And I think part of that is also learning how to be more secure in setting your boundaries and sticking to them so that you're protecting your well-being. And ultimately, if you need help in kind of figuring out how to get out of a toxic relationship, you have to be able to do the work to understand how it is that, you know, you kind of got in that space. That's a lot of learning. But Ben, you wanna close us out? We always say, keep fighting in the open.
Keep fighting in the open.
All right, guys. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week.